This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Personal finance is one of those phrases that actually underscores everything. We're talking about paying for the important building blocks in life, and that can include children. We're spending some time this hour on how to afford adoption and what prospective parents can expect in the adoption process. There are often big costs before you even know when your child will come home. Charles wrote to us on Facebook. He lives in Philadelphia with his wife and 5-month-old daughter. Charles, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Charles, you are still in the adoption process. Where are you in the process and what are you doing?
Got my daughter when she was 3 days old. It is 5 months later now, and about in a month and a half or so, we're going to finalize the adoption. We're at the part where we've paid all the costs, paid the attorney, and hopefully in a month and a half, it'll all be legal.
You said paid all the costs. Can you put a grand tally on the number?
We figured with all the fees, expenses together, we'll end up paying about $30,000.
That's quite a number.
Yes. It was a number that shocked us initially, but thankfully our adoption agency gave us a fee schedule up front and told us what to expect. We've been saving for a number of years. Yeah.
What kind of conversations did you and your wife have when you realized that the number was going to be something like $30,000?
Adoption was something that we were very committed to. So we just got practical about it and made a plan and said, you know, how much money do we need to save per month?
This process, I'd imagine, has been long and emotional, but also, I would think, surprising. What happened that you and your wife weren't expecting?
You know, I was put in a great position about 3 months ago that I was given a promotion at work, and it meant that I had to move locations, but I had to move out of state. When I told the adoption agency to update the address, we actually had to pay another $1,500 to update a lot of paperwork. You know, they had to reinspect our new home. There was definitely a big unknown that I didn't know about, but I think as every new parent's probably surprised as well, you know, when we got the call on my daughter, spent a lot of money buying clothes and food and different supplies. We didn't know ahead of time. We found out the day she was born that we were going to be parents.
What was that call like?
My heart probably stopped. I just got out of a meeting with the vice president and my desk phone was ringing and I picked it up and it was very surreal. Didn't know if I believed it. Kind of felt like a dream. Just kind of had to sit and think about it for 10 minutes before I called my wife to verify that, like, yeah, this is real. This is actually happening. My daughter's a huge blessing. It's great so far.
Charles, thank you so much for calling and telling us your story.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to get some perspective on Charles's adoption process and also what it's like to adopt a child from overseas. That comes with a separate set of challenges and costs. So we asked Emily Rosen to join us. She is a licensed clinical social worker and a psychotherapist who specializes in adoption. Emily, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
What do you tell people who come to you and say they're ready to start this process about their own finances? What should they be thinking in terms of where they are financially?
Well, they should have a lot of money in savings because, as you heard, it can be a very expensive process, particularly if somebody's going to adopt internationally. But domestically, it can be very expensive also. There's so many fees that people don't know are going to happen. Like when Charles moved, he had to have what's called a home study update because his home study was no longer relevant due to the fact that he was living in a new place. And each state needs to approve a home. And so Charles had to go through that twice. And $1,500 is a lot of money, but that is generally how much it costs to do a home study. I tell people to make sure that they have a lot of money in savings and try to find other ways to tuck some money away because it can be a very daunting process.
Is there a ballpark number for how much it generally costs in the U.S. and how much it generally costs internationally?
You know, it's hard to say. The least expensive way to adopt is through the foster care system, but that varies by state and county. And then the most expensive is generally international, and that's due to having to travel as well as stay for long periods of time overseas in hotels. And domestically, I would say on average, it could be between $25,000 and $35,000. And internationally, it can be up to $50,000. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you are a prospective adoptive parent, how do you vet an agency? How do you make sure you're working with a good one?
That's such a good question and such an important question. Many agencies have things that are called informational meetings, where people can show up for free and kind of hear a pitch that each agency is going to give to say why they each couple or individual should work with them. That's one way to do it. Another way is to ask people who have adopted, where did you adopt from? What was your experience like with the agency? But it is really important to visit an agency, see if you make a connection with the people who work there. You also want to make sure the agency is licensed and accredited. If an agency specializes in international adoption, you want to check a website called JCICS, which is Joint Council of International Children's Services. And they kind of are like the watchdog for all of the internationally specializing agencies in the U.S.
I have a question about culture, not just the cultural kind of gaps, maybe if you're adopting a child overseas, but also doing business overseas, which is in many ways what people who are adopting a child in an international adoption are doing. Are there things people should know if they are doing that in Russia, in China, in Guatemala, in different places? Tips on how to navigate that?
I think if you're working with a reputable agency, you have somebody who's there in country to meet you and to take you to every appointment that you have. There are certain countries where it's not unheard of and not thought of as strange to kind of keep cash in your pocket and expect to pay off somebody to get a Diet Coke or, you know, file a piece of paper, you know, and in this country that's looked down upon. So you have to be culturally sensitive, but it's also really important to know that you have an advocate for you in country as well.
You've been doing this for quite a while. What do you tell families to think of that they didn't consider? What's sort of the secret back of mind stuff that maybe isn't on their list?
What I tell people a lot, because there's so many unknowns and there's countries are shutting down, or birth mothers domestically will change their mind, or a birth father will come back and the baby's no longer available for adoption, or something like that happens. But what I always tell people is that no matter what, the child that was meant for you will come into your life. And every single person I've ever worked with has said to me, you know, when you told me this a year ago when we started this process, I just thought you were a cornball. I didn't know what you're talking about. And now that I've met my child, I absolutely know that I had to go through all of those problems to know that this was the child for me.
Emily Rosen is a licensed clinical social worker and a psychotherapist. Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.